This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 16, 2022, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This last word is from the Gospel. That question: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I am always emphasizing reading the Scriptures and paying attention to the details of Scripture. It's kind of an interesting question because the parable was about prayer and perseverance in prayer. So how come this question about faith? Our Lord doesn't say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find people praying, persevering in prayer? No, he says, will he find faith on earth? This question should draw our attention, for one thing, because it is seemingly, if you don't pay attention, out of context, but it also, the details of things. Our Lord speaks a lot of parables in the Scripture, many parables. This is the only parable in Scripture that ends with a question. So he not only tells the parable, he presses you to think about something. And again, seemingly it comes out of context: prayer and perseverance and faith. No, it's not. Because what our Lord is saying by that is the essential association with prayer and faith. Prayer is nothing without faith. You have to have faith to make your prayers effectual. So the context of prayer is integral with faith. But our Lord doesn't mention prayer again, so he's really emphasizing that faith is the foundation of prayer. But just like the parables about prayer and our Lord brings up faith, this isn't a homily about prayer or perseverance in prayer. It is about faith, because that's what our Lord asks us. Because this question is not posed to the church, generally speaking. He's talking about each and every one of us as individuals. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or when he comes back, depending on his timing, he is going to ask us individually, do I find faith, not in the church, in you? This is what our Lord is talking about. This is a very grave issue. Yeah, faith is a necessary element of prayer. When we pray, it's interesting. The Catechism says this. The Roman Catechism says that the prayer exercises and increases faith. It exercises it. The more we pray, the more faith we will have. Because sometimes we get answers like we want, and we go, yay, God, he's great. Sometimes we don't get the answers we want, and it ticks us off, and it makes us delve into why we might not have received the answer that we want. It makes us engage in our faith, if we're doing it correctly. Now, if we just shake our fist at God and walk about, leave the church, and do whatever, because he doesn't answer our prayers, you don't have faith. If you have faith, you will deepen your faith. So it exercises our faith, and it increases our faith. And no matter how he may answer you, if we get more and more in tune with that whole thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as opposed to our will be done, this is what our Lord's talking about in this integration between faith and prayer. But I mean, the lack of faith when we pray is why prayers go unanswered. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that explicitly. Matthew chapter 21, he says, all things whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive. You know, most of us like to not hear certain words in Scripture. Like, we would like to hear that passage. All things whatsoever you ask, you shall receive. It doesn't say that. It says, all things whatsoever you ask, believing, you will receive. Faith is necessary to make our prayers efficacious. We can see it written. There's going to be a couple examples that I throw out here when this discussion and what we see in our day. You know, why are things the way they are now? It doesn't seem like the church of the prayers of the church are being answered. I would submit to you that because of a lot of places, they're not being said with the foundation of faith. When we hear, for instance, 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that should resonate with us farther than, well, they're a bunch of losers who don't believe in the real presence of Christ. And I stand by what I just said. They shouldn't be here if they don't. If you don't believe in the real presence of Christ, you don't have any faith in what the Catholic Church teaches. So that means 70% of people that pray in our buildings on any given Sunday aren't having their prayers heard. They're not efficacious. Because as our Lord says, all things whatsoever you ask, believing, they said explicitly, they don't believe, so they shall not receive. Simple as that. Wow, what Jesus said is true. I mean, this is the reality of our faith, because our faith is a reality. Faith is a reality. St. Augustine takes this ball and runs with it, talking about that passage in Matthew 21. He said, without faith, prayer is useless. You don't want to walk away from that going, well, I just shouldn't pray then because I have questions about this. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about ever deepening your faith. He's talking about delving more and more into your faith. It'll make your prayers much more useful. Okay, but if you pray prayer and you don't have any faith, if you're one of those kind of people who, and we all know them, who do a really good job of praying when they want a new job or when something really bad's going on in their life, they get sick or somebody dies or something like that, then, I haven't been to Mass for 40 years, but I'm going to pray because I want my mom to get well. Guess what? Your prayers are going to be ineffectual. I don't mean ignored completely by God, and maybe that's the thing in life that's going on to make you pray more, but that prayer is going to exercise your faith. This is why prayer and faith are like this. Okay, but the most important thing is faith. That is the foundation. This is why our Lord ends this whole thing about prayer with the question, when I come back, am I going to find faith on earth? This is a serious warning. It is a warning from Christ. Because he gives us a heads up. Because as time goes on, this is kind of an unfortunate thing, as far as I'm concerned anyway, is our Lord said certain things 2,000 plus years ago, and we just have the unfortunate providential circumstance of living when they come true. Our Lord says, the charity of many shall grow cold. The charity of many, the love of many. The book of Revelation, when he rebukes one of the churches, he said, you've lost your first love. Who's talking about? Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about. Your charity will grow cold. Sounds really kind of negative and really heavy and everything like that. And it is. But our Lord never leaves us hanging with the whole negative thing. He said, the charity of many shall grow cold, but he that perseveres to the end shall be saved. Okay, so this is what he was talking about, perseverance in prayer. Faith is the foundation of prayer. So this whole perseverance thing, even when these bad things, so many people are falling away. So many people have a cold faith. We don't worry about that. We worry about Jesus' question. When I come back, am I going to find faith? He's talking to you. This is what we got. This is why he's putting us on notice. And not only are our Lord talks about charity growing cold, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, says that there is going to be a revolt against the faith. People are just going to deny outright the faith, like saying, well, the church used to believe that, but she doesn't believe that anymore. That is a bold-faced lie. The church is the same yesterday, today, and forever because it's the body of Christ in this world. And what she taught back in the day, it holds true now, and it will hold true until Christ comes back. The modernists used to try to tap dance around that minefield and say, oh no, we're engaged in the continuity of the faith and we're trying to do. They are so bold now. They are so bold now because of their position. They are so bold as they just explicitly come out and say, we're going to change the church. You change the church, you change faith. And when they changed the Mass in 1970, Cardinal Bugnini, the one who put it together, Archbishop Bugnini, when he put that whole thing together, he explicitly said, we have to remove everything that from the Mass that might offend our separated brethren, that might be a stumbling block to them. I want to be a stumbling block to our separated brethren. I want them to know that there's something better. I want them to know that they are not correct in their faith. Not because I say so, but because Christ says so. That's what our faith is. It is objective. This is why the warning, to stay watchful and persevere in the faith and in prayer, even when those around us are falling away. And some of those people, many of them, may be in a position of authority in the church. Jesus didn't say, you know, many laymen were, because that, you know, that's always been. But it hasn't always been when leadership in the church deny essential teachings to the church, deny the moral teachings of the church. This is a sin. It's an abomination before God. Oh, no. So we need to accompany them where they are. No, we don't accompany. We contact them where they are and we tell them they're wrong and that they need to repent of their sin like our Lord Jesus did, like St. John the Baptist did. That's what we need to do. This is the reality of faith. Because faith is what it is. It is not what you think it is. Jesus Christ is not going to go back, hey, do you have faith? Well, yeah, this, that, and the other thing. And looking at somebody else who says something different and go, oh, good, that's cool, but you both have faith. No. Jesus Christ, am I going to find the faith that I gave you when I come back? Because how can we be held accountable? How can we be held accountable if the faith is subjective? If we can all have our own faith. That's why a little vomit comes up out of my mouth. Faith groups, I hate that. I hate that. And how often do you hear it? This faith group and that faith group. Gee whiz, the Holy Spirit says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one faith. There are a bunch of different religious groups. You know, you're canceling a dead cat without hitting a different religious group. That's fine. There's only one faith. So they can't be a bunch of faith groups. The only faith group there is the Catholic Church. Well, that's an awful arrogant statement. That's not me. The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul. One faith. One faith, the one Jesus established. Not the one that I tweaked for my liking. Not the one that I tweaked to, you know, to fit my theology. That's not faith. The faith is objective. But even with the way Jesus formulates this question, will he find faith when he comes back? There's another place where he formulates a question like that, and it's in Luke chapter 11, a couple chapters. When he asks about a father, you know, when his son asks him something, you know, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? If you ask a fish, would you give him a serpent? An egg, would you give him a scorpion? And he goes, you know, who would do that? He is presenting the question in a way that is a characteristic, being a bad father, that should be rare. He asks the same thing about faith. So if there are very few fathers who would do that, our Lord is presenting it in a way that says, there are going to be very few who are faithful when I come back. You want to be one of them. You want to be faithful. As I said, there is only one faith. The book of Jude, not one we hear from a whole lot. It's awesome. It's short. You can read it in 10 minutes. It's like a paragraph and, you know, a half. The book of Jude, an instruction. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Not contend for a faith that comes up 1,517 years after I established the church. Not, you know, contend for a faith that comes up in 1052 when people separate from the Catholic Church. No, faith once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith. And we got to learn it. We got to learn it. We're living in a day and age where we've got to learn it on our own. Because you can't rely on everybody that's got a collar on, no matter what cassock color they may be wearing. Okay, these are just the times in which we live, because what our Lord Jesus Christ prophesied, as I said before, is coming true. We're just living it. Many, the charity of many, the love of many for their first love will grow cold. You know, why is this? Why? You know, one commentator says that, why do people like distance themselves from the faith? commentator said, because of our Lord's long absence, the faith of many will fail, scarcely thinking that he will come again to judge. Consequently, scandals increase. You think about it. Our Lord has been gone for over 2,000 years. So, you know, we're kind of hard-pressed when we tell people, you know, the Lord's going to come back in judgment and everything. You guys have been saying that for over 2,000 years. I ain't worried about it. Now, that's the worldling. We can get that, what a worldling would respond like that. But the church is perpetuating it. How often do you hear about judgment in hell in most parishes? I always like to tell a story about the old guy that lived. I mean, this guy was ancient. And he was leaving one vigil mass one night. He looked at me on the way out, and I had spoken about hell during the mass, go figure. I thought about hell, and he goes, I haven't heard hell mentioned in mass for the past 20 years. I said, yeah, well, you just got to, you know, you got to throw it. He goes, you ain't going to have a job long. Those are the times in which to hear that, just people went, oh, my God, he actually said something about hell. I mean, you get those reactions from people. Not hell. You want to talk about judgment. That makes it even worse. Our Lord hasn't been here for 2,000 years, and we emphasize judgment, and they never hear it in most churches anymore about judgment. So the faith of many has grown cold. You know, we got to use Jesus' stats when we start talking about who's going to be faithful when he comes back. And because the saints all got it. Saint Bede. Saint Bede, one of the more awesome saints. All saints are awesome, but I like him. He's great. When Christ appears, the number of the elect shall be very small. Indeed, at that time, many will not have the Orthodox faith. A lot of people hear Orthodox, they think of Eastern Orthodoxy. Orthodox means straight teaching. Orthodox means traditional teaching. We live in a day where we need to cut the ties of anything from back in the day. You can't go to Latin Mass anymore. We don't talk about hell anymore. We embrace rank sinners. We bring lions and wolves and bears into the sheepfold. That is antithetical to your faith. It's not orthodox, but you hear it all over the place. I mean, in this, like I said, this isn't the laity. This isn't just simple priests anywhere. About a year and a half, 2 years ago now, there was a cardinal, a prince of Holy Church. His statement, the Pope is the church. Wow, Cardinal, you just demonstrated in a very short sentence that you don't know anything about what the church is. You don't understand the papacy, and you're a cardinal. We got 35 kids that are going to be confirmed in a couple weeks in this place. Some of them are 7 and 8 years old. They know better than that. They know better than that, but a cardinal will stand up and say that in front of people. That's faithless. He didn't have a faith. Not one that he made up in his own mind. But it's not the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not the Orthodox faith. We got to be wary of that. That's just the way things are now. You know, and the saints have pointed that out, that it's going to be like that. St. Cyril of Alexandria. St. Cyril says, those that do not present the deposit of the faith, as this has been written down, make many abandon the faith. They involve them in the inventions of devilish error. As Scripture says, they belch things out of their own hearts and not out of the mouth of the Lord. He's talking about leadership in the church. Saint Cyril. There's a reality. We're just living it now. So we shouldn't be all, because our Lord is warning, while this is going on, you as an individual, you need to be faithful. You need to persevere in your faith. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is expecting to see when he comes back. And there are going to be very few. You know, I said earlier about our Lord doesn't leave us hanging with negativity. We shouldn't, and I won't leave you hanging with it. Last night, the people here last night got a Reader's Digest version of this, because I had two confirmations and a baptism last night's Mass. I'm a priest, and people come to me, I'm going to be a Catholic in my humanity. As always, I throw this, just got to call a spade a spade. You know, in my humanity, I'm like, Why? Have you read the news? I mean, we make the news. We're so messed up, we make the news all the time. It's always in a bad sense. That's my humanity. But spiritually, I cannot be more overwhelmed at the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Because why? Why do they want to become Catholics? Because they deepen their faith. I mean, these aren't people who came in off the streets and start hanging out at Mass. And I like hanging out in here with these people and listen to the babies cry. And you know, that's not why they were here. They're here because they deepen their faith. They were people of great faith. They were Protestants before. I mean, not just like sitting in the pew Protestant. They were very, very committed in their church. But they deepened their faith. They were faithful, so they studied their faith. And they found it lacking. And they grew in their faith. And they came into the church. Our Lord will find people. He will find them. But there are going to be few. Look at our traditional parishes. They're loaded with people, but they're small. Why? Because the vast majority of the big places are filled with faithless people. I can't believe you said that. Whatever. That's just the truth. It's not what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just confirming, because we can all confirm what our Lord has said and what the saints said. But I'll leave you with the word, because St. Cyril doesn't stop it there there's badness that's afoot. But he ends with these words. He says, against these, those who do not have the faith, we come near to God as faithful servants, begging him that their wickedness and their attempts against his glory may have no effect. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.